Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Thursday, August the 22nd, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 49, the second paragraph. It's the last paragraph on that page. We who have traveled this dubious path. And we'll be commenting and unpacking that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Sherry K. B., the 12 Traditions, Summer D., and readers of the text, Dion R., Karen R., and Kathy Jo P. is our backup person. The share ID for Wednesday, August the 21st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,306. That's 13306. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, August the 22nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,309. That's 13309. And our newcomer greeter is Nan K., and the announcements person is Janice P.M. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship. This is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Sherry KB to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful for recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
And thank you, Sherry KB. And I will now ask Summer D. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Summer.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. This is Summer D., gratefully recovered in SoCal. The 12 steps, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve and have a great day.
Thank you very much, Summer D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's not the mute button on your phone, that's the star 1 button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 49. We are on the second paragraph, which is the last paragraph on that page. And it starts out, we who have traveled this dubious path, and we'll be unpacking that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Dion R. to get us started. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can. Very clear.
All righty. Good morning, all. My name is Dion R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice even against organized religion. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynical dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. And, wow, as I said, I'm Dion, and when they describe we, you know, that part amused me just a little bit in the middle, but it talks about when we travel the dubious path, you know, and to me, it's just like reminding me of a questionable, a debatable, uncertain, you know, when according to the Big Book Dictionary, and that just reminds me, it's like I said, there's some things I just can't mess with, you know. And that path, as I shared before, many of people know I questioned religion many times while I was binging and in the food. But as a kid, when they say restored to sanity, I'm put with that. That made me think, how can I be restored to sanity if I never really liked God, and God never really liked me. And then it brought me back through these years and made me thinking about when I was a kid. I was 3 years old when I, people would say that I can catch a little bumblebee and with my hand, and I do remember it. And I could just hear something, catch it this way, hold it this way. It would never sting me. And I just felt so loved, well loved by my parents and everything. I don't know, life happened. And next thing you know, I did not believe anymore. I figured, like, all my thinking was, my heart was wrong, everything. So I began to make fun of people that believe. I had a family member that, as a kid, would pray every time they take a bite of apple, cookie, whatever. And I'm like, we just make fun of her. Because we were, of course, you know, we had a horrible path with religion, most of us, as children, when my parents separated. So I thought that was really no God, everything was fake. So I complained all the time, whether I would, that means from binging and talking about people of religion. And then as I grew in education, I relied on my brain power, if that makes sense. And probably wasn't much, but I relied on my brain power until it didn't no longer work. As most of us, you know, I hit rock bottom and I got desperate. And brain power no longer worked. It was like, oh, well. And I started comparing my life to hers, you know, and we walked raised by the same pair, same situation. Why I chose to use food to fix me from 3 years old on up, and she did not, I don't know. But I it worked for me until it no longer worked for me. And part of his is they always had a logical idea about life. Her idea to this day has been logical. I have learned to keep an open mind through 12 steps. It took Overeaters Anonymous for Dion to get humble enough to say, as they called back in the day, uncle, put your hands behind your back, be real rough to kids until they give up. And the food made me give up. You know, I had no more questions. I was willing. I began to see the change in others in the program. That made me believe. And then I began to experience the change when they told me, here's how we did it. We worked one step to one of 12, just like it's written in the big book. And with that, I began to have the psychic change. Not perfect. And it says cynical. I know who I am. Today I am a Christian, but I'm also, more importantly, a recovered compulsive overeater who can share spirit, strength, and hope with others. Hope it makes sense, but that's where I'm at today, and so I had to share that I do have a higher power, and it's not Dion's or her brain power today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Dion R., for getting us started. Just reminding everybody, we're on page 49, second paragraph, we who have traveled this dubious path. Now open the lines for those who'd like to share.
Summer D.
Donna W.
Roz.
Beatrice O.
Sherry K.B.
And Donna W. Who's after them?
Julie E.B.
Julie.
Sherry K.B.
N.E.C.
N.E.C. One more.
Freya H.
Freya H. Thank you. We'll stop there. All right. Sorry. I have Summer D, Donna W., Julie E.B., Sherry K.B., Penny C., and Freya H. If you now all mute your phones, please, except for Summer D. Good morning, Summer.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. Again, this is Summer D, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater as a result of this fellowship and the big book, residing in Southern California. And I do spell my name S-O-M-M-E-R for anyone that might want to contact me. This is such a powerful paragraph for me, and what really stood out is the words stability, happiness, and usefulness. You know, I grew up as an only child in a very abusive and dysfunctional environment. And for me, God was my parents, who didn't have a relationship with God. And I was a Catholic, an Italian Catholic. And it was all about the rules, you know, the rosary, the confession. But I was lost. And the only way I knew how to comfort myself was with food. And so food was my God. And stability, that's a word that is so foreign to me. But today, as a result of working these steps and through this book, I am now experiencing a level of stability that I haven't in the past. Happiness and usefulness, same things as well. You know, it was a very negative environment that I grew up in. And, you know, my mind is insane. My mind's insane. And I come up with these ideas and thoughts and similar to Bill. And, you know, I finally arrived. But the truth is that the denial continues to be shattered. And I'm so grateful about that because my pride and my ego have just been driving me my whole life. And I'm so grateful that recently what I've learned through my relationship with God, as I understand God, is that the reason why I had a male sponsor and the reason why all my God Squad people were male is because, you know, my mom was my main qualifier, and I didn't relate very well to women. That's all changed as a result of me growing closer to God. And today I have a new female sponsor who's amazing. And I have a strong fellowship of women that I trust, that love me unconditionally, that encourage me, that keep reminding me that I'm loved. And that's something that is very foreign and very new because I grew up without warmth or love. So I'm so grateful to the Vision community, and I'm so grateful to my sponsor who did get me through the big book of AA quickly. I'm grateful for the women that I had worked with. Unfortunately, I had to step away because I have more work to do. I noticed that I wasn't using the steps to deal with my feelings. So now I'm going through it again to deal with my feelings. And that's such a gift. It's just such a gift. And if you're new, welcome to the family. I consider Vision our PhD level of recovery because you truly will find something in this community that isn't available, that I have not found anywhere else. So with that being said, if you're ready, just put the food down, work the steps, get a sponsor, and because your loving higher power wants a new relationship, and I'm living that today. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you, and thank you, Team Thursday.
All right. Thank you, Summer D, for getting us started, or being number one on this lineup. Donna W., followed by Julie E.B. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. I'm so grateful to check in live today. My name is Donna W., checking in from Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today. And, you know, when I read this chapter, I'm just amazed at how Bill, who really didn't want to rely on a higher power, like, my goodness, he changed so dramatically. And I'm sure he used all of these very rational arguments that he writes about here. And I do believe in God. And, you know, there's the section, I don't know which page it's on, where it says, you know, God either is everything or nothing. God either is or isn't. What is my choice to be? And I do ask myself that most days. And, of course, I want to choose that higher power is everything and God is. And then, so I do believe in God. And then I choose agnostic behaviors throughout the day because I get very self-reliant. And I was taught to be self-reliant. So I'm doing my best to check in with God throughout the day. Yesterday, I really got connected with my higher power during my meditation, and I didn't sleep so well the night before, and I just had a great day yesterday. So I was like, any coincidence? So, you know, sometimes I feel like I got to figure out my recovery. I got to figure out how I'm going to connect with God. And it's like at the end of To the Wives, it says, you know, God either recovers your husband or he doesn't. And it's like, oh, yeah, God recovers me. I don't do the work. I need to make myself, have the humility, the humbleness to receive. So maybe I can focus on receiving than doing today. I'm a good doer, and it's really hard for me to receive. So that's where I'm working. And then I just want to say another thing. I've learned on these lines, you know, a lot, of course, about the spiritual part of the program, but also that if I need to eat, like, you know, I've heard be grateful for every glorious bite. Like, if I need the food, then for some reason, I need the food. I'm trying to just accept that when the food gets loud or I eat too much of my meal, that for some reason, you know, it's serving a purpose and try to be grateful for that. And, you know, of course, work my program and surrender to God, but not shame and blame myself because, you know, I'm doing the best I can. And I'm really grateful for all of you. With that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna W. Julie E. B., followed by Sherry K. B. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and for all the service of everyone who works to make this meeting happen or just shows up to listen. What a blessing to have so many people take their seat today. I'm Julie. I'm gratefully recovered one day at a time here in Colorado Springs. And I just wanted to share, you know, I have traveled a dubious path. I have definitely had no reasonable conception whatsoever, even as I practiced religion, even as I taught religion, even as I was very involved in religion, I still really had no reasonable conception whatsoever. You know, I had a lot of laying aside of prejudice to do because when I was in my own self-consciousness and not a God consciousness, I looked at everything and saw the problems. I mean, no wonder cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs, practices, other people, I wasn't looking for stability or happiness or usefulness in the world. What I was looking for was someone who could solve my problems, someone who could tell me I was okay in my self-seeking, someone who would do whatever I wanted when I was being compliant, someone who, or when I was being controlling, someone who could reassure me. I was on this dubious path. My prejudice was that I could look to religion to solve my problem, pray to God to solve my problem, but not do the work of putting the fork down, making a connection with another human being, which was hard and scary, calling other people. I remember telling my sponsor, oh my gosh, I can't call other people. And yet somehow as I connected to other people and basically leaned into each thing that I said, this is hard for me, this is hard for me, accepting faith is hard for me, seeing God at work is hard for me. Something new has happened, and I have an increasing God consciousness. That means being awake to my higher power and what my higher power is doing instead of sitting back and dissecting what's going wrong, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with various faiths. I start looking for what's right, and for me, that's the beginning of spirituality. No longer blotting out my intolerable situation. My consciousness, my awakeness, to constantly intolerable situation as best I could, but seeking spiritual help, I was looking what might be out there, what goodness might come my way today, and this meeting bears witness to that goodness. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie E.B. Sherry K.B., followed by Penny C. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line and Team Thursday, and welcome newcomers and anyone else listening. You know, this paragraph is pretty amazing to me because, you know, here it's begging us to set aside our prejudices. Set aside. There's that word again. And that, you know, this is where the set-aside prayer was formed from, because we're supposed to set aside our old ideas and prejudices. You know, and prejudices also mean opinions formed without the knowledge or examination of something. And so I know for me, you know, I could look at this paragraph and think of religious stuff, but I also think of when it talks about creeds, it talks about not only religious beliefs, but it talks about any set of beliefs. So for me, when I think of being around these rooms for a long time, you know, I came in 1988 in and out of the rooms, and I had my prejudices about OA meetings. I had my ideas about sponsors and about this big book. I mean, boy, I couldn't tell you in the beginning my prejudices I had about this big book. And here I am today because I really didn't really look and examine the big book the way I needed to, the way I learned how to do when I got into getting recovered by going through this big book, it changed my life. And here I was, when I look at the thread in my life, there was a lot of things that I went unknowledged, unexamined, that I had prejudices about, that I didn't look at, which was really good for me. And that's part of my disease, I think. That's part of my own disease, that is part of the disease of compulsive overeating, is this disease between my ears. And what I'm learning is that, you know, I do need to set aside, I continue to set aside my prejudices and my old ideas and about a lot of things. And I don't know, I must have been out of the room when they were telling me how important it really was to work the steps in this big book this way, because I had worked other steps, and I had never experienced going through the big book and getting such recovery and being recovered as I did with this work this way. So I need to set aside those ideas and prejudices that I didn't know and try this. I mean, if you haven't tried going through the big book with a step guide, I recommend it. And just all these ideas and demonstrations of stability and happiness and everything, and given purpose and direction. I mean, that's, this book gives me purpose and direction, because it's telling me my purpose in life is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and to the people about me. And I wouldn't have known that before, not until I did this work this way and connected with a higher power. Put the food down, connect with a higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry KB. Penny C, followed by Freya H. Penny C, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator, for leading this meeting. My name is Penny C, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And, oh, my gosh, I keep saying it so true and reminded that this chapter just changed me, transformed my thinking more than anything else in this big book, or maybe anything else, period. There's two words here that jumped out at me: prejudice and amuse. And the thing about prejudice is that I grew up in a religion that taught me as a little child that mine, ours, was the one and only true religion. And we had a market on God, and any other religion or belief was not right, not true. And so in a way, I had a prejudice toward every other religion but my own, and amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs. Exactly. I can remember even as a teenager, and, you know, in finding great amusement in people who were evangelizing their own religion, who were passionate about what they believed, and, you know, and because I thought I knew that they were wrong. And that persisted till I was in my early adulthood, and even till I got to OA. And things are so different now. I look at this, and this chapter changed my attitude to being so open-minded, where I not only respect and admire other people and their beliefs, but I want to learn more about it. I'm constantly reading books and attending different services, even though I OA in the 12 steps and prayer and meditation brought me back to the religion of my childhood, and with a different attitude completely, that, I want to learn more about everyone else's beliefs, and as I do, I see things about other religions that I might even envy. You know, not everybody has the whole story. Anyway, I'm not saying it correctly as I would like to, but I am just so, so pleased. It's what I like about myself. If someone were to say, what do you like about yourself? When I came to OA, I had nothing at all that was good about Penny. And now I say I've become so open-minded. It's just a delight, and it's all due to my higher power and to these 12 steps and people in rooms and phone meetings like all of you. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. And before I call on Freya, I'm going to remind the people on the line that we're on page 49, the second paragraph. We who have traveled this dubious path, and the comments are on that paragraph only, and I'll take names after Freya. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning, Mo. This is Freya H. in Colorado, gratefully recovered compulsive eater and bulimic. Love hearing the shares on this paragraph. And what it reminds me is, it reminds me of when I did my fourth and fifth step, when I, you know, made my list of basically all the things that were wrong with the world, you know, all the people who had wronged me, and then all of my fears. And then I was willing to look at it from a different angle. You know, I had my grudge list, and then I was encouraged to look at it from a different angle. And I feel like it's the same principle that I'm being encouraged to apply in this paragraph, where, you know, it says we beg you to just lay aside prejudice. It's like I'm being asked to, rather than look at all of the wrongs perpetrated by people of religion throughout history, I'm being asked to look at it from, hey, like maybe there was some good in there too. Maybe there was some positive influences. And the example they give is that you know, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. And you can't put like a number value on that, but that's so incredibly valuable, you know, just like having purpose and direction and recognizing, you know, for me, I thought, well, if everything lines up on the outside and I get what I want, you know, in my life on the outside, then that's success, right? Like that means that I've made it. That's my goal in life. And the truth is, even when everything lined up on the outside, I still felt empty. I felt purposeless and meaningless. And that's what really convinced me that I needed something more, that I really needed a higher power in charge of my life, totally regardless of whatever else was going on in my life, you know, including body size, eating behaviors, et cetera. It's like, I need this God in all areas. So, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, God is such a convenient term, but just to be encouraged, to just being willing to lay aside whatever is blocking me from being able to access this power, you know, by means of this program that I, you know, that I can see is working in other people's lives. And my margin note is, if you look for the bad, you'll find it. And if you look for the good, equally, you'll find it. And it is my choice. It's up to me. What am I going to look for when I view the world? What's the worldview? What's the perspective that I choose? And to me, that's really the essence of a spiritual awakening, is I'm willing to look at the world through a new set of glasses, a new set of eyes, you know, the eyes of my higher power. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Freya. And I'll now open the lines for those who'd like to share.
Cynthia V.
Kelly S.
Beatrice O.
VG.
Kelly.
Who's after Sivia? Was it Paula?
Beatrice
Kelly.
O.
Beatrice O.
Kelly S.
Kelly S. That's right.
Margot.
Margot. Last initial?
P.
P. Thank you, Margot. Couple more. All right. Well, we'll go with those four, and if we have time, we'll open
Alita.
It up for some. Oh, who was that? Alita?
Yes.
Okay, got you, Alita. I think it's J, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Okay. All right. We'll stop there. I have Sivia, VG, Beatrice O, Kelly S, Margot P, and Alita J. Okay. Good morning, Sivia. You're on first.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. So I had one of those moments just now reading this paragraph and seeing something jump out at me that must have been thrown in there this morning before I got to it. And that is, people of faith have a logistical idea of what life is about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatsoever. It's like, wow, And I had to look up logistical because I do logistics. That's one of the parts of my job. So, and logistics defined by Webster is logistics is a detailed coordination of a complex operation involving many people, facilities, or supplies. And before I started working the spiritual aspect of this program, even though I would run logistics in my job, I had no idea of what the logistical, practical idea of what life was all about was. I was not able to detailedly coordinate all aspects of my life. You know, and this relates back to we work this program in every area of our life. And it just was so interesting to me that now I seem to, even though it's crazy, you know, life is crazy, it hasn't made my life less crazy, but because when it gets crazy, I can rely on my spiritual aspect of life to help guide me through and find what the next right action is. Whereas before, I would be overwhelmed to the point where I wanted to just crawl under my bed and hide. And the theory is, and I have, if we find a higher power or a power greater than ourselves, we will be restored to sanity. And what's wrong with that theory? And it's, for me, it's not a theory now. It's a fact. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sivia VG. Beatrice O, followed by Kelly S. Morning, Beatrice.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O, recovering from Northern California. And I guess the dubious path, this dubious means, you know, you can't rely on this path. And for me, that was my beliefs. And I really like that the big book says, you know, we beg of you to lay aside your prejudice. And I certainly grew up prejudiced. And when I was in church, I was prejudiced against all the, you know, I judged everybody in church. I thought everybody was just pretending, and their lives were all screwed up, and they were just suiting up and showing up and trying to pretend that everything was all good. And it took a long time for me to go back to church because I felt that God, you know, he didn't do anything for me. I did it all myself. And then when I got in the 12 steps, I thought I was better then. I thought everybody in the church really should work the steps because, you know, they wouldn't be, they're fakes. And so what I learned in this, and then I turned around and judged everybody in OA. And what I learned is we have a quote that says, live and let live. And you know, the honesty, the open-mindedness, and the willingness is the how of the program. We just have to, I had to open my mind. And the other thing that I'll never forget, I had a sponsor that says, B, you need to keep your nose on your own plate. And because when I'm out there judging others, I'm actually judging myself. And the only reason I can even feel like I can speak again at this meeting is because I had to stop condemning myself for not being perfect. And I had to put down this backpack of perfection that I'm always trying to seek. And I had to stop, you know, the punishment and the damnation and the terrible words that I was telling myself. Because I know that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And the other thing that I just want to say that I wasn't able to say, I forgot to say yesterday was, you know, my higher power is the creator of the universe, because I can't imagine anything less that would be able to help me. And I just couldn't imagine what life would be, what this earth planet would be without a God, without morals, without, you know, we could just do everything we want. And sometimes I think that's where we're at right now. But I am grateful. And I need to stay close to my higher power.
Fine.
And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Beatrice O. Kelly S., followed by Margot P. Kelly.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Grateful to be on the line. And, wow, I really love this meeting. I mean, I always love this meeting. But some really great shares that I totally related to. And this paragraph, you know, when I was reading it and when we were sharing about that, we used to amuse ourselves. You know, my first thing of denial was, well, I wasn't amusing myself. You know, I didn't think it was fun. I was just building up my ego, because if I could tear you down, then it somehow in my low self-esteem, it made me feel better about the fact that I, you know, was not living a spiritual life and absolutely had no happiness or usefulness anywhere. And so, you know, when somebody else had already shared, you know, about, you know, I had to do this whole set aside thing, as I've talked about before, in these rooms. You know, I was very, been around since 82, I think. And I was just pretty sure that, you know, this program didn't work. And, you know, I first started listening to Vision. I, first of all, thought it was sacrilegious to say recovered, and also seriously did not believe and truly said out loud, there are not instructions in the big book. There's no instructions. But I'd never read the book like that. I'd never been taken through it, didn't understand. And so, you know, what made me finally do that? Well, of course, I shared desperation. And what it was, you know, it's like I came in these rooms. Yeah, I wanted to stop compulsively overeating. I wanted to be at a normal, healthy body weight. But because my disease continued to progress and I became desperate, what I was looking for was stability, happiness, and usefulness. You know, I wanted to learn how to do this freaking life thing without the food. But yeah, I wanted neutrality with food. Oh my God, that is such a freaking gift. But, you know, I started, you know, the more I listened, what I heard, people on these lines, they were living this life. They were doing it right out of the big book. And what did they have? They had neutrality with food. Oh my God, couldn't imagine that. They were living at a normal, healthy body weight. Certainly couldn't imagine that. But what was really appealing was this degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness. And I had sought that my whole life. I just want to be happy, you know? And so, and what does that mean? Is like, I'm learning how to do life on life's terms without having to turn to whatever it was, which I still sometimes do, not with food. I've got it down 100% black and white, but I'm always searching. I'm always searching to fill that outside, you know, looking for that outside thing. And what I've learned in this program, 4.5 years of recovered abstinence, is, you know, I have a spiritual malady. And you guys are teaching me this program, this big book, my higher power. You know, so it's like, you know, we need to get on this line and share with people that we can learn how to do life without having to turn to something, someone other than a higher power, that we can do it neutral, food's down. And, you know, it's a process. You know, that's where we have progress, not perfection, not in the food. We have it learning how to live a spiritual life and handle life. And I'm just so grateful today. It's not always easy. Nobody said it would, and I'll wrap up with this. But I'm glad that I'm willing to keep the food down and do the work in spite of how I feel today. And I don't always like it, but I'm grateful to be abstinent. Thank you, Mo, for your service and for all the shares. They've been amazing. And I pass.
And thank you, Kelly. Yes. Margot P., followed by Alita J. Margot, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for sharing. My name is Margot P. Grateful to be on this call, on this page, and reading it and looking at it. It's amazing, still abstinent with my sponsor. I'm grateful to have her in my life, who guides me with the step, who guides me with the belief of a higher power than me. And lately I've been struggling because I'm looking for another job, but then, you know, I believe that there's a higher power, but sometimes I slack on that, and I had to get on my knees, and I got on my knee early this morning. Even when I'm in bed and thinking, I say, I know I have to trust in my higher power. My head is full of diseases, whatever toxins I have, but I'm grateful that I have my food plan. But the mindset, is telling me, no, don't believe. You know, you're going to fail on this job. I resigned this other job. And then I start thinking about, you could have done this, you could have done this, you could have done. No, no, no. And in my mind, I want peace. I want peace. And so I said, how can I share this? Does anybody understand what I'm sharing? And understanding this, that I didn't have faith when I was young. I didn't believe nothing. I was going to places, to different churches, and people go here, go there, take me here. I didn't believe nothing. I didn't, even they would show me the big thing, Bible, and now I didn't believe in that. I was so lost in that world. And I am so grateful that I found, you know, the OA and the vision for you, doing the steps, going to meeting, doing service, being busy. And so here I'm at home now, trying to update my resume. And I hate to do that. I had to write up a cover letter. I had to do that. And I'm just like, wow, I have to relive again. I'm doing my recovery in these writing skills, you know. So I know that I have to do what I need to do. I have to trust my higher power, which is going to lead me in a different, better place than what I was in, having this spiritual moment. And I'm grateful I'm getting the support around it, because I get a lot of text messages. Keep going. God is in charge, you know. Believe in that. Believe in this. So I am so glad, you know. And when I was looking at the part, I said, leap of faith, you know. And I have to have that leap of faith. And when I look at the part, like, I used to travel in different places, not healthy places. And it was not nice where I was heading to, you know. I was heading to somewhere that was not going to go nice. So I'm grateful to be on this call. I hope everybody understood me, what I said. It may not sound so great, like everybody shares. I love when everybody shares. And so I'm getting there, and a step at a time. I hear that word, a step at a time. And I'm grateful to be on this call. Thank you.
Thank you, Margo P. And Alita J., I think you'll take us out. Good morning, Alita.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for amazing shares this morning, and everyone who is here. Welcome to the newcomers. So glad you're with us and that you've joined. It says, spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. I grew up in a very religious home. We went to church, we went to Sunday school, and when we stayed with our grandparents, we had devotions in the evenings. And so I was really had a lot of religion and spirituality around me, but it did not click. It did not click. I heard a lot about love, but I didn't experience the love. And for what reason? I don't know. Maybe I was blocked at a young age. I don't know. I did not experience the love. And so I just kind of blocked God out of my life as I began to my growing years. At the age of 12 and 13, I picked up food, trying to find satisfaction and comfort in food. And then that continued until I came to OA. And then I tried to find comfort and satisfaction in money, things. Then I tried to find comfort and satisfaction in men. And I just was drawing, just going everywhere except to God, back to God. And this brought me to a lot of homelessness. And I would be usually walking on the streets with a guy, usually wasn't my husband, a boyfriend or someone I was cheating with. And I'm sorry to admit, I don't have a beautiful path, but anyway, and on Sunday mornings, and I would see people going to church, and they would look so fresh and so pure and so happy and content, and I would be actually envious and jealous and just kind of wishing I had what they had. But in order to cover that up, I would cynically dissect what they were doing or try to find something wrong with what they were doing. And I had no degree of stability, but I saw that they did. and the happiness. I knew not happiness. I could not be by myself for 1 minute without trying to fidget or doing something. I was so discontent with myself and who I had become. I definitely had a spiritual malady for many, many years in my life, and still do to a large extent. But thank you, God, I'm growing and changing. And the usefulness, I did not even consider being useful to other people. It was only about what can I get out of this for myself. So selfish and so narrow-minded. I just couldn't see how helping others is what it's about, and being there for God. And thank you, I guess.
All right. Well, thank you, Alita J., for closing us out. Thank you, everyone who was on this meeting, gave service, and behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, and who shared. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Karen R. to read a vision for you. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic from North Carolina. Great to be here. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.